Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us this morning. It's a delight to have you join with us any day as we face the issues. As we face the issues, may I remind you that we do so not based on denominational dogma or some ideological philosophy, but we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The Word of God is the source book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the Scripture, it is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So as we think about truth, we think about what the Word of God says. It should be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and that is the Word of God. Let me remind you today, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issue, we're going to be talking about a question or a statement, if you will. I'm not a stooge. We'll talk about that in a moment in the monologue and dialogue and discussion, but let me remind you, you can jump on board at any point in time this discussion and join with us by putting in, as some people call it, your 2 cents worth. That'd be wonderful. It'd be an opportunity for you to say what you want to say about the issues as we face them each day. You can call 831-0917, 831-0917. Get your telephone call directly through to the radio studio and right to our microphones so that we can have this discussion with you. Two or three things of what I call a little housekeeping before we get into the monologue and the discussion today. Let me remind you that on Sunday, July the 7th, that is Sunday, July the 7th. That's the Sunday immediately following July the 4th. We're going to be celebrating Independence Day, God and Country Day, that we celebrate once a year at First Conservative Baptist Church. Be delighted to have you. We're going to have some wonderful singing. The Groves Family Singers will be here in concert. We'll have Patrick Henry's reenactment speech. Most of us know Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, but we do not really know the Liberty speech. That 18 to 20 minute speech. Harry McKay will be here dressed out as Patrick Henry. He'll be doing it in passion and with great zeal and from memory. He travels across the nation making that presentation. Looking forward to having him with us again this year. Following that will be a wonderful message from the Word of God. And then we'll have the opportunity to have some barbecue together. And then we'll follow that with having the ceremonial groundbreaking for our new retirement center, Shepherd's Care, Florida, a retirement center. We'll have a place for seniors to live right here on campus. Be a wonderful opportunity for you to be here, participate in that. We'll have several of our elected leaders that will be here participating in the groundbreaking ceremony. Looking forward to having you with us also. Let me tuck in another little thought. We'd love to have you call, and if you are one that's gifted and talented with playing the piano, we're looking for a part-time pianist. That part-time simply means an hour or so on Sunday morning, an hour or so on Sunday evening, and occasionally if you're available on Wednesday evening with a relatively reasonable stipend for your serving the Lord. If you have the gift and the talent of tickling the ivories, as some called it, that is playing the 88-key keyboard called the piano, we'd love to talk with you. You can call 262-7777. And leave your phone number and contact information and allow us to call you back and schedule a time that we might talk about what God would have you to do in serving the Lord by playing the piano. Looking forward to that. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the subject today, I'm not a stooge. I'm not a stooge. What am I talking about? Well, let me just do a little trickle down, as I call it, to get into the subject matter. But most of us are aware of the fact that there's a Trump derangement syndrome taking place in America. Trump derangement syndrome. What do you call that? The TDS, Trump derangement syndrome. you recall Hillary Clinton and her campaign she was running against President Trump in 2016. She said that we were a basket full of deplorables. Yeah, we those that voted for Trump, those that followed the Trump campaign, those that are Trump followers, and those that have admired and thankful for what God has done. Then there's that Peter Strzok, the FBI agent, that said he could go to Walmart in Northern Virginia and smell the Trump followers. And then back before that, even President Obama had said that the conservatives and the Christians just simply wanted to cling on to their guns and their Bibles and their church, their religion. And it was a very disparaging statement about we Christians, especially as Christian conservatives. Well, the fake media also in the past 2.5 years have said that President Trump's a traitor. He's anti-American. The media and its opponents of our president have all been very vocal and visible and trying to tear down and destroy everything that God has called President Trump to do. He's been called a racist, an Islamophobic, homophobic, misogynist person, a liar. He's been called mentally ill, and I can go on and on and on. President Trump has been demeaned more than any president I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm still a little less than 100 years old. And may I say that I find it absolutely staggering to see what we're seeing in our nation today. But let's just think about for a moment just what has President Trump done for us in America? What has he done today that should cause us, especially as Christians, as conservatives, what should cause us to be excited and to be prayerful, thankful of what God has done? I believe in November the 8th of 2016, it was God's direct intervention that put President Donald J. Trump in office. I believe that God has used him, just as back in the Old Testament, he used King Cyrus and was beneficial and a blessing to the nation of Israel, allowing them to giving them the opportunity to go back and rebuild the temple. I believe that the same thing we find with President Donald J. Trump is God's divine direct intervention for the deliverance of America from God's judgment that I believe has already started to fall in our nation as a result of our plummeting from anything that's called moral, ethical, biblical, godly, if you please, principles in our nation today. What's President Trump done? He's given us one of the best economies in the past 40-plus years. He's given us the lowest unemployment in the past 2 decades. He's given us 2 U.S. Supreme Court justices that are conservative constitutionalists. He has stood for life and not death by way of abortion. He's against the Planned Parenthood agenda. America's now energy independent as a result of President Trump and his policies and procedures and what he's done.
Isn't it amazing when you no longer have the war on coal, how coal does pretty well, when you're no longer attacking the entire petroleum industry and all the carbon-based fuel sources out there, when you're no longer attacking them, all of a sudden they can produce. Matter of fact, we became a net exporter now under this president, first time in, 40, 50 years that we're energy independent. I never thought that day would happen. You know, under Barack Obama, the onslaught, the attack was perpetual. It was continuous. And we were told, you know, this is just the way it's got to be.
Matter of fact,
we were told 2% growth in the GDP was a matter. You know, that's the new norm. That's the new norm. You just can't really expect any. And what did Obama say? What are you going to do? Wave your magic wand to make these things happen? It's amazing when you get government off the neck of business, if you get government off the backs of business and industry, how they thrive.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the voice of one of our 4 sons. Greg is with us today. I'm delighted that he's traveled down to see Pop for Father's Day, and he's up in the heartland country, as he calls it, up near
it's the southern tip of heaven. Come
southern
on.
Tip of heaven up in Tennessee in the mountains, and he is with us today. Greg has his degree in ecclesiastical jurisprudence, one that studies the word and is familiar with the constitutional law and what we ought to do as constitutionalists as a republic. And we're talking with Greg today about some of these things. We're going to get to the point in a moment. We're talking about, and let me remind you again, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can dial 831-0917 and get directly to our telephone line so that we can discuss this issue with you today. We're getting to a point, though, that I want us to understand. Greg, one of the things that I wanted our listeners to understand is here we have a president that has done all of these things. By the way, he's done more for conservative Christianity in America today than any of the recent past presidents have done. He has given us protection. Most are not aware of the fact that pastors had been restrained for some 60 years, that they were petrified for preaching in the pulpit or ever touching on anything about an election. Because the IRS regulation that was put in place,
the Johnson Amendment,
the Johnson Amendment, 1968, where as a result of a transportation bill, he put a rider on that said that preachers cannot talk about politics. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was wrong then. It's wrong now.
It's a First Amendment violation. It's
First Amendment violation. Totally, absolutely. But President Donald J. Trump, by the pen executive order. Overshadowed that, ruled that unconstitutional by his pen, May 17th of 2017. And today, preachers are free, as we ought to have always been, constitutionally, with our religious liberties and freedom of speech. Preachers are free today as a result of that. I could go on and on and on with what President Trump has done for America. And I, for one, stand today very, very thankful. But, Greg, one of the things that I want us to talk about today, and our listeners need to understand, is back just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor David Platt of McLean Bible Church in Vienna, Virginia, that is Northern Virginia, acted according to the Scripture. 1 Timothy 2, 1, 2, and 3, and I'll paraphrase for us, says very clearly that we are to pray for all of those that are over us, have leadership over us, especially the president, and that's what David Platt had done. President Trump was in that area having a round of golf. He wanted to come in and dropped into the church unannounced, and they made arrangements for him to come on in, and I'm thankful for that. But he was simply wanting to say a few words of encouragement to those because of the shooting that had recently taken place in Virginia Beach, and he thought that would be the thing to do, the honorable thing to do. And so Pastor Platt decided that the honorable thing for him to do was simply be obedient to the Scripture and pray for the president, and he did that.
What do you think of the response he got out of some folks?
I commend him for doing it, but that's the very point.
Right.
He was castigated by many of those. I just simply, ladies and gentlemen, call them the loose, likes, lost liberals that were in his church, those that somehow
In and out of his church. I would lay odds that a lot of those folks figure that they just push his buttons, and they're coming in from the outside. Now, granted, you're right. A lot of them probably were internal, and I suppose when a pastor is always careful to avoid those things that are considered political. As a matter of fact, pastors across America do. Matter of fact, even the things that we don't consider political, they dodge the subjects that are considered landmines. Well, Donald Trump is a landmine, folks.
That's right.
He's a landmine. He steps on this landmine, but he did it based on what I saw. And I saw the first portion of his prayer, and then I saw the commentary about it, and then I saw the reaction. And it sounds like he did follow that 1 Timothy 2 text. He's just praying for our leaders, as all of us should do.
That's it. He did the honorable thing in praying for the president. He did the honorable thing and the biblical thing in doing so. But then as a result of some of the flack, as you would call it, he got back. He sent an open letter to his members and talking about he realized he had hurt some of them, et cetera, et cetera. Greg, it was a backdoor, half-handed apology. And when you study the word from the Webster's Dictionary on apology, that's exactly what he did.
He was walking it back.
Walking it back.
Yeah.
And now, bringing that forward, ladies and gentlemen, last week, Tuesday and Wednesday, was the Southern Baptist Convention in Alabama. That's where they met for the convention. And David Platt was one of the speakers. And David Platt brought that up in his speech, brought that up about what he'd done and the flack that he'd gotten. And then on top of that, then, ladies and gentlemen, J.D. Greer, that is the president of the convention, J.D. Greer, in one of his lectures to the people there in the convention hall, he said, and I want to quote to you, Pastor J.D. Greer, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, told the pastors that were attending that they need to avoid being a stooge.
Help me.
A stooge for any political party, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm talking about today, and I want you to know I'm not a stooge. And if you're a Christian, you ought not to be a stooge.
If you stand on right biblical principles, you're going to have something to say about those things that the world considers political. But my view, and you tell me if I'm wrong, my God is Lord over all. When we had the Ten Commandments that God handed to Moses, you have about half of those dealing directly with your responsibilities before God, about half of them your responsibilities before your fellow man. God's Lord over all. And I think it's interesting. You talked about Donald Trump. You have a lot of individuals. The left would like, and a lot of your never Trumpers would like to divide Christians from Donald Trump. And I'm not saying follow Donald Trump. When a politician is right, support them. When they're wrong, don't support them. Stand against them. And we ought to use a biblical a model for that. But God has used men throughout history. God has used Ben Franklin was a secularist par excellence. You know, as he traveled the world, I understand he was a womanizer and a skirt chaser, whatever you want to call it, a wine bibber. He had little issues. He was one of the most secular of our founding fathers, and he was considered the old man of the revolution. However, when they joined together in that Continental Congress, you know what? He called them to prayer. He made reference to a sparrow falling from the sky and how that couldn't happen without God's recognition. How can a nation possibly rise without his assistance? You know, it's amazing how a secularist would call the nation to prayer.
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson was tagged as a deist. Maybe he was. I don't know the man's heart. And you have Christians that are told, hey, he took a penknife to the Bible and cut out all. And when you find out what that really was, he compiled the words of Jesus, and he put them into a little volume and called them the words of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He was asked, what was that for? And he said that was a witnessing tool to the Indians. You know, that's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
However, again, he was a more secular and, again, tagged as a deist, not tagged as a Christian. But there in that church house, also the state house,
that's right.
The largest church in America at the time, he was regularly in attendance. There was the chair that was Thomas Jefferson. That's where he was expected to be Sunday morning after Sunday morning. When you have the lead up to our revolution, you have individuals that had this same exact interaction, the same exact battle, if you will. J.D. Greer is probably of a mind that, oh, we ought to avoid these things that are political. I've got a question. What's political that's not first moral or religious or spiritual?
It goes back to the fundamentals of what is government.
All right.
God created government. God created the home. God created government. God created the church, and in that order. And when he created government, according to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, government is a servant, doulos, slave unto God. And so, therefore, as we look at government, we look at it as, well, here are those big dudes up there in Washington. They're over us. We put them in office. We are their boss, if you please. Mm-hmm. And under God, they're responsible to God. And government is designed to help the good and to prosecute the bad, the evil in the world today. But it's reverse of that. But going back to this question now, are we stooges? Are we stooges because we honor God and praying for the president? Are we stooges because we believe that the president is one that his hands need to be held up because of what he's doing for America? Ladies and gentlemen, Webster's Dictionary says a stooge is a comedian's helper. A stooge is a henchman. And so what J.D. Greer is saying as the president of the convention is that Christians that support Donald J. Trump as president, that we are a comedian's helper and that we're a henchman for the president. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that has any greater stench in my nostrils than to say that. If we support the president, then we're a stooge. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, this same person that said that, and you can go online, listen to his messages. You can listen to him in his statements. He says, and he's a pastor, a Christian pastor, now the head of the convention, Southern Baptist Convention. He is a Calvinist. That is, he says that God's already predetermined who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. That's bad enough, and I don't have time for that dialogue and discussion theologically today. But he says that we need to reach out, Greg, and embrace the LGBT community.
My goodness, I listened to him. I saw a write-up on it. Then I listened to a sermon that went on for 52, 54 minutes. And he referenced homosexuality more as an affliction than a sin. Now, I believe a person can be tempted down a path.
He said it's an affliction just like gluttony.
Oh, think about it, though. You're tempted down a path. So that temptation, when you actually act upon it, That's the sin right there. What he's done is given a permission slip, if you will, for all manner of sin. It's like, hey, folks, you're just dealing with an affliction. It's something that's done to you. It's not something you do. It's something that's done to you. That's
right.
What an affliction is.
Absolutely.
And it makes no – it's absurd. And it makes sin something other than what the Scripture identifies.
Absolutely.
As.
Here's one of the things, Greg, that I find it fascinating, and I have lifted from this the title of my issue today, I'm Not a Stooge. Here's the article, ladies and gentlemen. It says, title of it is, I'm Not a Stooge. Baptist pastor defends Christians who support Trump. Dr. Jeffers, And Dr. Jeffers is, Robert Jeffers is the pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. Dr. Jeffers made the comment on the Todd Starnes show and was speaking in response to the recent warning from Pastor J.D. Greer, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Greer told the SBC meeting in Birmingham, Alabama, that pastors and churches need to avoid being a stooge for any political party, end quote. Dr. Jeffers goes further to say, he said, I agree 100% that no pastor should be a stooge for any political party or for any government leader. But I don't know anyone on the current scene who is, said Dr. Jeffers. If he's insinuating that I think he's, that those of us who support President Donald Trump, the evangelical leaders who have supported President Trump, are somehow being co-opted by him, I mean, that's absolutely not the case at all, end quote. Dr. Jeffers then adds that every evangelical leader he knows that has a responsibility and a relationship with President Trump uses that proximity to encourage the president and the tremendous Christian policies that he has implemented, that we praise him and pray for him.
Where were these folks during the Obama years? Were they completely silent? I think most
complicitly silent.
I believe so. You know, a pastor, as well as any other Christian, you ought to be active and engaged with your culture. We ought to go into the uttermost parts of the earth and share the gospel. But you have to stand and engage the culture when it's right. Identify what's right. When it's wrong, identify what's wrong. That's part of our freedom of speech and freedom of religion, as secured, as preserved, as acknowledged in that First Amendment. Interestingly enough, a Pastor Musgrave stood in the well of the House in Illinois this past week. And, you know, Illinois passed one of these Abortion Protection Act kind of thing. They want to make sure that that child can be extinguished all the way up until the very moment of birth. And I kind of wonder, you know, do they take it that next step further? You know, the child is born alive. Now do we make a decision on whether or not the child is really a child and if we're going to preserve it? I forget how far that Illinois legislation went, probably that far. But Musgrave, in giving an invocation, praying over that body before the commencement of their session, he prayed and acknowledged the wrongdoing within the Illinois House and their decision. And he actually pronounced judgment, prayed for judgment from God on that state. Now, you would have some pastors say, he shouldn't have done that. That's political. He was making a righteous judgment based upon the scripture and spelling out right and wrong.
Based on the scripture of right and wrong, and based on the legislation that they were passing, right, being wrong rather
absolutely
than right.
Now, in Jacksonville, they had the legislation, I'm sure you spoke about it on the radio, mm-hmm. They were trying to curtail freedom of speech and freedom of religion. They were trying to curtail the First Amendment by virtue of an ordinance that would prevent a pastor or layperson from standing and praying a prayer that they might consider sectarian,
mm-hmm.
a prayer that might include Jesus Christ.
There might include anything political, they said in the ordinance.
Right. Well, political. I mean, I don't care what we're talking about. If there's a law that's been passed, I'll tell you there's a high likelihood there's a moral precept, a principle that underlies that law that makes it worthwhile, makes it valid. I mean, people who red lights are not moral. Well, yeah, they are. You know, red lights keep you from colliding with one another. And why is that important? Because life is valuable. Life is important. Why is that important? Because God created us in His image. There's a moral judgment made in virtually every single law today. So please don't tell me that there's this vast separation. There's this huge wall. That wall was to keep government out of the church.
Absolutely.
When you talked about Patrick Henry. Patrick Henry, when he gave his "Give me liberty or give me death" speech, he had just witnessed three ministers that were on trial for ministering without a license from the government. Now, this is the days of King George. When he made his pronouncements, he had seen the onerous hand, the tyrannical hand of governments reaching in to try to regulate Christianity. You fast forward, the first signatory on that Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, the first signatory was Frederick Muhlenberg. He was a pastor. He was a preacher in the state of Pennsylvania that went on to engage in the Revolutionary War after they burned his church down, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was one that told his brother, you know, stay out of politics and all. Stay out of this Revolutionary War. You're called to be a preacher. And, of course, they burned his church down. He went on to become a member of the House of Representatives. He went on to become Speaker of the House, and he became the first signatory in 1787, 1789 on the Bill of Rights. It was important. And what are the very first words in the Bill of Rights, that First Amendment? Congress shall make no law with respect to an establishment of religion. That was to make sure government never goes down that path again. Government never goes down the path of trying to regulate the pulpit, trying to regulate the church, trying to regulate our speech, trying to regulate our religion. I'll tell you what, it was a game changer for Frederick Muhlenberg when they burned his church down.
That changed his mind.
pastors, preachers out there, are you going
to
wait?
He wanted to be silent and even challenged his brother need to be silent
That's
until
right.
his church had burned down. He realized it's time to act and do something.
Go figure.
The whole point is when they call this J.D. Greer, that's calling pastors stooges, Dr. Jeffers goes on to say, there is an effort in America to shame Christians and evangelical leaders who are giving counsel to this president or who are supporting the president's agenda.
They're trying to drive a wedge. If they can get Christians to stay home, they're convinced, you know, Joe Biden or one of the other 23 in the clown car will become the next president. I say clown car. That's a lot of people running for president.
That's right.
But they have successfully done this in House and Senate seats across America. If you create enough vile accusation against a person, Christians will say, I can't go and vote for that
person. That's the whole point. They're trying to tear down President Trump's what they call the evangelical base.
That's right.
They're clawing at the base to try to prevent him from being reelected. They are viciously frightened to death at this point. In fact, this is the reason Dr. Jeffers says, I'm not a stooge. We're not to be the stooges for anybody. But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand in support because what they're trying to do, and I am ashamed, I'm saddened, I'm frightened when I see, Greg, this taking place in the body of Christ with the leaders of a major denomination that's trying to tear at the framework. I call it the warp and the woof of our nation today, and that is the Christian fabric in our nation. Dr. Jeffers goes on to say they're infected with a sense of their own. Speaking of these now, that calls us stooges, they're calling us stooges. Dr. Jeffers says they're infected with their own sense of self-righteousness. They think they are so holy and the president is so evil. The Bible says we're all sinners, every one of us, and we're all in need of a Savior. And I think people need to try to quit evaluating their own sense of righteousness by pointing fingers at the president because we all need Jesus Christ. I don't know of any better statement that could have been made than that.
I'm floored, though, because as you listen to leftists at a national level, including folks like Nancy Pelosi, she starts speaking about pro-abortion, pro-murder of the unborn. She starts speaking about it in terms of morality, like that's a moral thing. Chelsea Clinton did the same thing, as though that's the morally superior view, to be able to slaughter the unborn. I can walk you through Scripture. They're wrong, mm-hmm. but they're literally trying to use morality as though they're standing on this moral high ground. You know, when referencing the illegal aliens crossing the border and the gang that was so prevalent, still continues to be.
MS-13.
So, there we go, MS-13. She talked about this spark of divinity. I'll tell you what, these folks, there's no spark of divinity, folks. They're ravenous animals. When I say ravenous, it's not to make them inhuman, but they're inhuman.
Right? They're inhuman.
It's absolute evil personified. Yet she tried to place some moral superiority. You evil Christians, you evil bigots, you evil Americans that want to prevent MS-13 members from coming in, you're evil. The MS-13 member is to be lauded as moral and a spark of divinity.
You're speaking of this Nancy Pelosi. In her statements, yeah. Nancy Pelosi's position is that we are all immoral if we want a wall. We're immoral if we are against these MS-13 characters coming in to destroy America. It's bad enough, Greg, in the political arena to find those statements that are talking about the Christians and demeaning us. But then when you find that on a national level from a major convention where the president of the convention is saying that we're simply stooges if we support President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I am thankful that I can tell you that I support our president today. I pray for him, and I pray that you do. Greg, wrap us up. We've got about 30 seconds to go on this broadcast. Wrap up this session today.
Stand on the Constitution, stand on the Word of God, and you'll find you'll have no conflict between the two. They're beautifully paired.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.